Okay, we are we're on our first full week back. Is that right? First full week back in the yeshiva after our is that true or not true? Why is that? Yeah, it was like a eventful. But anyways, we have this is Parsha, a very powerful Parsha to schmooze out, especially this period of time. Afrei Moses Kedoshim, which is the Parshos that describe a lot of the Arayos discussions, describe some of the Yom Kippur behavior regarding the Seirim, the two goats that are chosen between, which one goes to Lahazel, which one goes to Hashem. And we also have the idea of Kedoshim in general, of being sanctified, of being holy. First of all, an important thing about Kadosh, in the rest of the world, to be holy means that you withhold yourself from physical pleasures. That is what people say. If you look at other religions, many of them, the chieftains of those religions, as far as priests or nuns, they're celibate, or at least officially they are. Right? They're not with anyone intimately. And if they believe it, it's a inappropriate behavior to have relations. It's not appropriate. Now, we don't disagree fully. We definitely don't agree with that. Because our Kedoshim also, if you look over here in the Rashi, by Kedoshim, the Torah first tells you to be Kadosh, the Torah says, Kedoshim to you, says Rashi, what does Kedoshim mean? Be Purushim and Arayos. Women and Avera. Also, hold yourself back. But not only back from relations, from inappropriate ones. Meaning Kedusha is when you are able to say yes to certain things and no to others. We don't believe that things are just no. Very things in the world are just no across the board. Very few things are. But there are times when it's a yes and times when it's a no. And you have to understand that. And even though that would make us different than everybody else, it makes it different. You go to a ballpark, you want to buy something to eat, and the guy's hot dogs here. And you're like, that's not that kosher. We can't have that. And then the guy next to you is getting it, you can't have it. Okay? So that's part of what it means to be different, to be a kadosh. The very end of the parsha, Kedoshim, it says, Bizimli Kedoshim, Ki Kedoshim Yashem, Vavdiloshem, and Amin Yosli. You make yourself different, and I will also separate you and make me different as well. It's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be different than other people. And if you make yourself different, Hashem also makes us different. It's the whole idea right now we have in the world that like this is not our land, this is someone else's land. It's because we're not different from everyone else. At least in mass, the Jewish people in mass are not so different. And we're the assimilation rates are so large that we shouldn't have our own people. You don't act our way anywhere else in life. Why should we have our own land? So if you make yourself different, then Hashem will also treat you differently. And you will be different. And that's what happened, as we mentioned before, we went to Yad Vashem this week already. And Yom HaShoah, that idea of that we were different, everyone else knew we were different except for us. They all treated differently, said we want to treat ourselves differently, we want to treat ourselves like everyone else. And we don't have a choice sometimes like that. It's not an option that we really have. And this is an idea also when it comes to choosing a melech. We're told that at the time of Shmuel, when Bnei Israel asked for a melech, he's very harsh on them. Even though we have a discussion in Sefer Devarim about making a melech. You know why Shmuel was so harsh on them? Because they said, we want a king like all nations have kings. Why are you looking elsewhere to decide how you should be acting? Don't follow the masses. You want a king because you feel we need a representation in our country to look up to and represent, you know, royalty. I appreciate that. But don't say, well, they have a king, so I also want a king. Because if you look around all the time at people, you're going to start making decisions. I saw this idea of Malcolm Gladwell. He pointed this out. Oh, no, it wasn't Gladwell. It was Stephen Covey about highly effective things for families. He says, back in the day, you leave your kids to the streets of the world in like 60s and 50s and 60s. I was not around those days either, so I'm just taking the word for it. Or the television. It was a healthy environment. You didn't have to worry. It was healthy. You see people around you, they'll be giving healthy lessons. He says, now, if you don't like completely bottle your kids up, the world around us is chaotic. It's terrible. What you watch, we're just going to say we're supposed to be looking at maybe movies we can watch this from people. And that, you know, if you're lucky enough to avoid cursing and sexual, you know, inappropriateness, then you got violence and gore, right? Which, oh, I'm okay with that, right?
We like
I'm okay with that. Okay with that. I mean, movies, not in life. Movies. The world around you, there is nothing you can even appreciate anymore. You can't, there's kids' movies. There's nothing that's going to have problems. You have to completely put your kids in a bubble, yourselves in a bubble, to avoid the world around you. Or, as long as you recognize and treat the fact that we're not trying to be like anybody else. Because what's out there for us, what's out there we want to emulate, is terrible. And by the way, not only is it terrible now for us, but in 20 years from now, everyone's going to realize it's terrible. Even they'll realize it's terrible. It may not even take 20 years to get there. Because there's chaos, and when chaos rules, and you try to act on it, then you see things fall apart right away. So therefore, you're supposed to be different. Not supposed to be like everybody else. And that's a very important and significant idea. And this idea of Kedoshim was so important, according to some opinions, they actually said this at Hakel. Hakel was once every 7 years. The king would come and he would read to all those people certain parts of the Torah. And some say he read this part. Kedoshim to you. To remind you, don't try to fit in with everybody else. Be different. You know, when you go to secular colleges, so you have like fraternities. Fraternity is not a Jewish idea. Even Jewish fraternities. It's not a Jewish idea. You know what our fraternity is? Shachris, Mincha, Mar. That's a fraternity. Kosher food. You don't need a fraternity besides that. Fraternities is emulating and copying a goyish idea of we are brothers. What are you? You're born a brother with everyone already. You are brothers. You don't need to make. Imagine going home and saying, kids, make a fraternity. We are a family. My dad, you're my father. We're siblings. His mom. We're a family already. But let's make a fraternity to do that. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything at all. We were created different. A fraternity, when you think, okay, everyone else gets it separate from everyone else. Fraternities are taking the whole campus. Like, oh, we're a unique part of the campus. You already have that as Jews. This whole concept of fraternities is a foreign concept to us as Jews. We are a walking fraternity. But the problem is that most people are not like that. And they would very much like to fit in among everybody else. That's what they like to. And you know why they want to? Because if you don't, then people will call you out for being a Jew. Remember my brother, who's very, very liberal, much more liberal than I am. I mean, I'm not so liberal, but he's really liberal. He said to me, we were talking about white privilege one time, I don't get the whole concept. I know maybe that's what I said on the video right now, but I don't get it. And he said to me, he says, stop it. Come on. You didn't grow up feeling white privilege? I said, Rudy, we grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland. I said, what, are you kidding me? What white privilege do we have? Walking around on Friday night and people rolling windows down and screaming nasty names on Friday night walking around from school. White privilege, playing basketball against guys in other schools where they made Holocaust jokes to us. White privilege, we're Jews. I'm not white, I'm white also, but I'm Jewish. There's no privilege that goes along with being Jewish in the world. That's okay. It's okay. You're allowed to be different and you're supposed to be different. And when they scream at you, what are you trying to fit into that for? You want to be friends with those guys? It shouldn't bother you anymore about that? Who cares? We're different. We act differently. As a matter of fact, this parsha that we have, this week, the first part of this, Achrimus, is where we find the first schism and potential of two identical people. Or identical things, I should say. We have these two Syrians who had to be so exact amount of money, with the exact way, and they're both being put on the block to be chosen. Lashem or Lazazel. Whatever that means, Lazazel. Throw it down this cliff. It's this whole big procedure. In second Yuma discusses in detail what happens over there. There's two identical apples with one choice about to separate them forever. We have this concept also when it comes to people. We're told that Yaakov and Esau did not look identical, but they behaved identically until the age of 13 years old. Some say even 15 years old. And then it all changed. Because two things can be right near the same thing, same trajectory, and all of a sudden something happens, and a decision that you make, whew, changes everything else in the world from that point forward. Everything. And it could be a small decision you make, or what seems to be small relatively. It's not a small decision, but you marry a certain girl. That should change your entire trajectory as a person. You marry the right one. The one brothel brings down. When they would get married to a place, they would say to you, Matzah or Motza? Where brothel was Davches or something like that. Matzah or Motza? What does that mean when you got married? They said to you, is this a girl, Matzah Isha Matzah Tova, that you found who's going to bring you to the good path, make you feel good about yourself, and make you a better person? Or Motza? Motza means Isha Marmi Matz. I found a woman who's more bitter than death. Matzah, Motza. You guys are too young to appreciate this. You don't have any friends really who are married. I mean, maybe any friends are married, can you mention them? But really, most of you have not really had friends that are marriageable age yet. In 10 years from now, you'll find friends that got married to the wrong girl. And they were destroyed from it. They were never themselves again. Some people who married the right girl, who built them up and made them to the most best version of themselves possible. Two people at a crossroads, and that next move they make is everything. We are all about to hit that point. About to hit it. You spent this year in yeshiva. I mentioned earlier on, maybe using it as a motel only, but at least it was protected. Protected. You're going to go out to the world, potentially, next year or the year after, and then you're going to be faced with, what am I going to do? And there's going to be two versions of you. Version one, who can matzah everything, Yaakov Avinu, Sir Lashem. And one mistake, one wrong decision that has ramifications, and it's Motza, Asa, Lazazel. This morning I was in the car, I mentioned you guys earlier, it was an unbelievable shot that one of the Rebbeim who works in Machala, and used to work at Shrag as well for many years, and Rabbi Aaron Barsi quoted his, I think, fourth grade daughter, who quoted her teacher, who quoted Rabbi Miles Biederman. So really, Biederman says the following thing. This is the point. I just want to say where I got it from. Biederman points out that, I mean, you guys, I'm sure, all know the famous idea of Yekiva at 24,000 students, right? I mean, all they all died in this period of time. I'll talk about it before they died. The famous story goes that his wife sent him away to do some studying, some learning, become a yeshiva bachur. His father disowned him. Her father does, because she can't imagine that this wealthy daughter, because he's, you know, Kabbalah Sabuha, was her father's name, was so wealthy that she would take this shepherd boy. Why? He disowns them, but she saw it as something special. Go learn, and I'll wait for you. 12 years. Looks like 12 years. He's about to come back. He's back with 12,000 students of his. Knock on the door. It's had his wife for 12 years, and all of a sudden he hears a conversation. Right? What happens is that the neighbor says to Rekiva's wife, Rachel, how long will you be a living widow? Meaning your husband's still alive, but you're still widowed. And she says, if you would only stay another 12 years, I would be so happy. Rabbi Kiva hears that. We all know that he turns around and he leaves, goes back 12 years, goes 12,000 more students, comes back 12,000 students 12 years later. But everyone asks the famous question, no, you're there already, you haven't seen your wife in 12 years. Knock on the door, have some tea, catch up on life a little bit. So the famous shot everyone gives over, myself included, usually, the Chaim Shalom brings down and says, you can't compare 12 plus 12 to 24. Can't compare it. If I have a great week in yeshiva, and I go out on a weekend, and I act like an animal, and I all what I'm working on, and I go back next week afterwards, another week. So it's week separated, week separated, week separated. It doesn't work. It's not the same. You have 12, I can get 12 separately. It's not 24. So you go to yeshiva for a week, and you work on yourself. And Shabbos isn't a break from working on yourself. It's a different schedule. I don't break from working on myself. Another week, I have 2 weeks. It's not 1 plus 1 equals 2. 1 plus 1 equals 1 and 1 separately. 2 is 2. It's different. 12 and 12 is 2 sets of 12. It's not 24. 24 is different. That's the famous thing we say over all the time. And therefore, he waited. That's not Rabbi Biederman's job, though. Miles Biederman has the following idea. It's a fascinating idea. I never heard it until right now, this morning. And I want to share it with you, because I think this is exactly what most of our problems are, no matter how well you're doing right now. Rachel, Rabbi Kiva's wife, my oldest point, she was believing in Rabbi Kiva so much. I can imagine that. Nesef Hassan tells us what the schus a woman gets for her husband's learning. Remember? Schus told that? What's the schus? I don't like to be on the spot like that. Is that? How much she helps her kids and her husband learn. So Rabbi Kiva's wife says, you know what? I'm gonna make this my avoda. And we can only imagine that she would daven, she was alone. She would daven for her husband every single day. My sweet Akiva should be the biggest Talmud Chacham he could be. Every single day. And look what's working. 12 years later, he's this huge Talmud Chacham with 12,000 students. And really, Rabbi Akiva's wife was davening. That's what part of what gave some of him the schlius. Says Rabbi Biederman, imagine knocking the door. Says to her, honey, I'm back. And I'm going to come back. I heard what you said. I'm going to spend the night with you. Back 12 years later with more students. What would she be like afterwards? Ah, my tefillah's worked. Wow.
and probably should stop davening. He's Rosh Yeshiva already at this point in time. He's got a big beard. He's got thousands of students. And then she would stop davening.
Rabbi Akiva knew that. And he also knew that my success depends on how much my wife thinks and prays that I do well. If I show her a glimpse of how well I'm doing, she'll think, Dayenu, we did it. Rosh Yeshiva already, 12,000 students. I do not want to settle. I need my wife to do more for me. And I know her tefillah matters. So I'm going back and she will not see my face with my long beard and my talmidim. For 12 years I'll miss her again. But I get 12 more years of davening for me. And when he comes back 24,000 years later, what does he say to his students? When they go and she drops in front of him and says, oh, Rabbi Akiva. And the students say, get out of here, lady, what are you doing? And he says to them, Shali, v'shalachem, shalahi. This is also hers. Because she davened for this. It would have been so normal to knock on the door and be like, what you did, what you davened for me, you waited for me, it worked. Look, that means that you only become a fraction of what was supposed to happen in the end. 12, not 24. And then he would be back learning 12 years in yeshiva, and it wouldn't be 24, it would be another 12. How often do we look at ourselves and say, you know what, I'm doing well enough. I got out of this already a certain amount. And we have a picture of ourselves, and we say, we made it. This mission, Abba says, never believe in yourself that you die. Never. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, says Rabbi Yonah, served as a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And at the end of his life, he became a heretic. Never assume your journey is over. And certainly, don't ever be satisfied with your successes. Be happy, be proud. But don't be satisfied. I had a great year already. I'm doing so well already. Remember this guy post-Pesach? There was a guy who came back and he decided he's going to YU instead of whatever college he was beforehand. Oh, I made it, he said to me. I'm done for the year. Just wait, we have more time. No, but it worked. Right, it worked. He got me. What am I even now? Yeah, got you. I never got whatever said to me. You should know college like that. Okay, so he thought we went this way. He thought we got him. But really, he got himself. In a bad way. He saw the new version. Okay, so I did it. You did what? You did something past tense. What about now? There's nothing to do anymore. Had he knocked on the door, she would have seen the God Lord be Kiva already, and she would have stopped davening potentially. And he knew that. Don't ever be satisfied with your up to life. Great year, Yeshiva. Call a kavod. So now what? What's next? Well, I'm ready. Ready for what? You ready to now pause 12 and maybe add later on another 12, but to stop? Stop the development and the growth? Never. You can do it other places besides Yeshiva Torah Tradha, for sure. But the attitude has to be, this is another step in that direction where my beard gets longer, my payas get thicker, and my tzitzis strings get thicker, or stronger baget, and my kippah gets bigger. These are all metaphoric, of course. Or are they? No, they aren't. This stage in life, we're about to get to Lag BaOmer 1 week from tonight, which is like the deepest of the deep. If you guys go to my room, you're going to see crazy stuff going on. You don't understand what could become, where the next stage happens. You don't know. But one thing you should know is if you think you hit it already, there will not be a next stage. Then you're frozen in time, and you're great. That's it. Game's over. You should be zochah to realize that after Moas Kedoshim, there's always more to do. After people Kedoshim die, we go back. We do more. We continue to work. We become Kedoshim. We mafdil ourselves to other people. Remind yourself of what you're heading to, who you're supposed to be in the end. If we do that well, we should be zochah to continue our process. And we shouldn't have 12 and 12. We should have a full 24. Have a great Shabbos.